Headlights arced up over a giant magnolia as she topped the Elizabeth Street hill. The fat white flowers looked lit up against the night, like teeth under a black light. The Inman Park section of Atlanta was rolled up tight at almost 11 o'clock on a drizzly Thursday. A family neighborhood, renovated, the high side of middle income, quiet. Two vodka martinis had landed squarely, and Mickey Ashton yawned between the slow passes of windshield wipers. Yes, she was fine to drive, she had assured friends. What she hadn't said was how she dreaded going home to that empty old Victorian. What is it about driving away alone from a place of laughter after a few drinks that can make one feel so utterly abandoned? She missed having animals, a dog to greet her. She'd grown up with them. But her career, the travel, it wouldn't be fair. She parked the 76 Spitfire and the cobbled drive. Grass shot up between the stones. How was it her neighbors seemed to have no problem at all keeping manicured lawns? She pushed open a waist-high wooden gate, painted in the years before she owned it and needing a fresh white coat. The neighborhood association resented her inattention. More than one polite notice delivered to her mailbox had reminded her of her responsibilities. Didn't they have lives? Bag over one shoulder, she took long strides in knee-high boots down the wet walkway to the front steps. Her heels sounded hollow against the painted planks on the wraparound porch. An eerie ghost-like sensation got her attention. That feeling of being watched. No, that wasn't it exactly. Being watched, she could deal with. Being watched, she was accustomed to. Mickey Ashton had been told she was pretty for as long as she could remember. This was different. This had teeth and nails. It set the back of her neck on edge. The urge to run hit her like she was 6 years old. Like there was a monster under the bed and she couldn't get her feet off the floor fast enough. And there had been a lot of monsters over the years. Institutions, prescriptions, attempts, razor blades, overdoses. The armed conflict against her own flesh began at 14 when she first pushed a razor blade into the paper-thin skin inside her wrists. She fumbled with her keys under a single globe-covered bulb. She needed better lighting. She'd been putting it off. That feeling again. Alarm. Like someone was going to leap out in a hockey mask with a chainsaw. Too many movies. Too many airport paperbacks. Get the goddamn key in the door. And then she heard it. Mickey had memorized every complaint and shudder the old house could dish out. Maybe she shouldn't have stopped the meds. Maybe her imagination. There it was again. The floorboards. Inside. She inched her way down the porch to the picture window, the tiny penlight from her keychain locked in her hand. She pressed the button and a weak shaft of watch battery light skipped over her tasseled fainting couch, the wooden floors, the antique rockers she'd bought and had shipped home during a road trip, the books she'd left face down on the coffee table just today. Then it was gone. The light blocked out. It took a second to understand what she was looking at. The dark outline of a man standing on the other side of the window. He faced her. Black clothing, a ski mask, motionless. Then his arm lifted smoothly. He made a gun with his thumb and forefinger, squeezed the trigger. The shock jolted her back. Dizziness swirled through her head, then hit her soft palate. She lost her martini dinner. An engine started somewhere on the street. Mickey's hand was trembling when she dialed 911.